you, Marco, and thank you everybody for being still here until the last presentation. I'll try not to be very tough. I'm going to present my work. This work is actually a collaboration between the Color Imaging Lab of the University of Granada in Spain and also the Polytechnic University of Milano in Italy. As co-authors are Eva Maria Valero and Javier Hernández Andrés in Granada, who are my supervisors, and also Giacomo Langfelder from the Polytechnic University of Milan. And the topic is spectral reflectance estimation from transverse field detector sensor responses. This is the outline of the presentation. First, I will go through a brief introduction of what is the problem I'm addressing and what is a TFD sensor, in case any of you don't know them. Then I will pass through the methods I use, sensors, the spectral data I use, the capture simulations, and the algorithms. Then I will show some results, followed by some conclusions, and in the end I will show also some future work to be done. So this is the first part, the introduction. I will speak about the problem and what the TFD sensor is. The problem is nothing new, it has been addressed by many authors, is spectral reflectance estimation. So we have some sensor responses from some camera. We put them into some algorithm as input, and we try to recover the spectral reflectances. And this is a RK to R61 mapping, K being the number of sensors, and we map to 61 dimensions, which is for 400 to 700. In 5 nanometer step. But what is new in this study? The new part of my approach, or the things I try to apport to this study, is the utilization of these new kinds of sensors. And maybe to understand them, it's easier to start from the sensors we all know, like the Bayer filter sensors in the normal color cameras, RGB cameras. So basically what we have here is a silicon sensor composed by many pixels with the same sensitivities. And in different spatial locations, we have either blue filters, green filters, or red filters. So it means that we have three different sensitivities, but there is no full spatial resolution, so we have to interpolate to get it. Then if we go one step farther, there is this kind of sensors like the Sony Phobion X3 who are taking advantage of the penetration depth of photons in silicon depending on the wavelengths. So as we can see in here, every pixel has a blue channel, a green channel, and a red channel. So we have full spatial resolution. And if we go one step farther, there are the TFD sensors, which is this new technology. So the basic principle is the same as the Phobion sensor. It also takes advantage of the penetration depth of photons in silicon. But now, by applying some transverse electric field, we can control the sensitivities. So now, if we apply some voltage, we can have, for instance, one blue channel, one green, and one red. But then if we change this transverse electric field, we can change these sensitivities. So in few shots, we can get plenty of channels, different channels. So let's have a look at the methods I use for this study. First of all, which sensors did I use? Okay, here we can see a set of 8 different setups. Each setup consists in a blue, green, and a red channel. So we could get all these sensitivities, well, in this case, quantum efficiencies, by several shots. In one shot, we get 3 channels. So the way we selected these 4 channels, which are the ones we use for the spectral recovery, was trying with easily optimizing algorithms to get the best results. So we took, in this case, the pseudo-inverse approach and the matrix R approach, and we looked for the first shot with the best performance. So this case was these 3 sensitivities we can see in the continuous line. And then we looked for a 4th channel to include one more channel, which was the best one of the remaining 20 one. So this is this dashed line we can see here. So these four channels were the ones we used. Here somebody can ask a normal question. Why, if you take the second shot, you don't get the other three channels, so you have six instead of four? This was done because there was no improvement in performance adding these two more channels, but the optimization time could be longer. So in this case, there was no point to use the other two channels, and we just took this first one. We can just ignore the other two. Now, talking about the spectral data, our illuminant for the simulation was the standard D65. We took 160 reflectances, randomly selected from these four databases. So the first one is the well-known Nascimento and Foster of rural and urban scenes. Then we have also VRES database, which is composed by reflectances of common objects. And then the Munsell Book of Color and the Macbeth Color Checker, which is this one. This database was chosen so we can use it for general purpose. So actually we can see here more or less the 160 reflectances are spread all around the color space. Then how we simulate the capture, we have this equation for the sensor responses, which is rho, which is composed by the sensitivities times the illuminant times the reflectance and some additive noise. Here we have the formula for the variance of the noise, which is intensity dependent, and RW is the response for the K channel to the white, to the perfect white, and RIK is the response for the K channel to the A sample. And then this is simulating flicker and shot noise, but the thermal and the dark current noise can be were neglected because they can be discounted either by cooling the camera or subtracting the dark image. Then the algorithms which were studied are these five. The pseudo-inverse approach is quite an easy and simple approach. It's linear model, and it was mainly used to have a basis of performance to be able to compare the rest of algorithms. Then we have the matrix R approach, which is based on Wyszczekowski hypothesis. And it's basically performing a colorimetric and a spectral transformation to get the reflectance estimation. Then we have kernels, which is quite a recent proposal. It hasn't been so much used so far for the spectral reflectance recovery. We can see in this paper some approach. And it's a way to linearize a nonlinear problem to be able to use a linear method for the regression, like the rich regression. Then we have the projection onto convex sets, which is an iterative algorithm. And we depart from an initial estimation, and iteratively we try to calculate the difference with the responses of the camera we have and the responses from the training set, and try to reduce this difference by changing the estimation of the spectrum of the reflectance. And finally, the radial basis functions, neural networks, which are basically one hidden layer networks in which we can control both the number of neurons in the hidden layer and the spread as free parameters. Here we can see a table with some properties of each of the algorithms. So as we can see, pseudo-inverse is the only one which has no parameter to be optimized. And then the only one which needs the responsivities is the POX, the projection onto convex sets. Then only kernel has regularization terms to be able to control the performance against the noise. And then in the optimization time, we have that pseudo-inverse doesn't need optimization time because there is nothing to optimize. Then matrix R is quite fast to be optimized. POX is more or less medium compared with the others. And then kernel and neural networks are slow to be optimized. Let's show some results. Here we can see in the left side the noiseless case and in the right side the noisy case. We can see in both of them the five algorithms, and we can see the goodness of fit coefficient and the root mean square error as spectral metrics, and also the delta E AB as a color metric. And we can see how for both cases, noiseless and noisy, the pseudo inverse is the one performing the worst. And actually, since it's not, since it has no parameters to be optimized, there is no way to enhance this performance. But in the other hand, we have kernel, which is the best performing for both cases, and after the optimization. We can see also in this plot of the delta E error how both pseudo inverse and neural networks are the least robust to noise. We can see how the change between the noisy case, which are the dark bars, and the noiseless case, which are the light bars, is quite big, both for pseudo inverse and for neural networks. While in the other hand, kernel is more or less the most robust against noise. Here, we did a comparison with narrower sensitivities. If we see the shape of the sensitivities of the TFD, we can see how they are quite spectrally broad. And we believe that this may be a reason for not a very good performance. And we wanted to check what would happen if in the same conditions, we would be able to somehow narrow these sensitivities. So we just took these sensitivities, which corresponds to another RGB system, and they are basically an unscaled version of a real RGB system. And we did, we tried exactly the same algorithms and see what happened. So as we can see here, we have in the green bars the noiseless case and in the red bars the noisy case. For both these narrow sensitivities here and these are the TFD sensitivities. So we can see how the performance is much better when we only narrow the sensitivities instead of the ones for the TFD sensors. Let's have a look at the conclusions. First of all, an accurate hyperspectral image can be estimated with full spatial resolution. With only two shots of a camera with this kind of sensors. I have to say that the integration time of this kind of sensor so far is quite low. We have calculated now around 10, 15 milliseconds per shot, plus the shifting of the sensitivities, which is more or less the same fast. So we can take two shots very fast and we can get four channels like we have done for this study. Then, out of the five algorithms studied, we saw how the pseudo-inverse, even though it's the easiest algorithm to be implemented and it needs no optimization, is the least robust to noise. While in the other hand, kernel is performing the best for all color and spectral metrics. And we also saw how narrowing the sensitivities, better results are found compared with the ones of the TFD sensitivities. As future work, we want to implement and test also with some other algorithms, like Wiener algorithms, which is quite widely used by many authors. It's a physical method. Then we also want to study how to narrow spectrally these sensitivities, maybe by including an optical filter in front of the sensor, a kind of filter which would affect equally to the all the channels, because let's remember that each pixel has all the channels, so we have no separate different filters for different channels. Then we also want to study the performance including more channels, which would mean including more shots. So maybe here we should have a look at which application we want this TFD for, because maybe increasing the number of shots, we also increase the time for the capture, and it may be not useful anymore for some applications, for instance video or moving images, moving scenes. Then also we want to perform some error analyzing in order to look for the optimum training sets, because we found here we work with the training set which was for general purpose, but maybe if our application requires, we can narrow this wide space of possible applications, so our training set could be more concrete. Then also we want to study different application, not only the spectral reflectance estimation, but also the color calibration with these kind of sensors. So we can take a picture and we get directly the XYZ or LEV color coordinates. And then also include a more specific TFD model for noise, which actually now we have, but in the time of this research we didn't have. So it explains better the real noisy performance of this kind of sensors. And that's it. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Miguel and Francisco.
So I have a question, more also maybe a comment that so this TFD technology, based on some papers, some publications by the same the authors in Politecnico Milano, they came also with another design that you can have more than three sensitivities. So you might consider that that case as well instead of maybe filtering, because you're going to get less sensitivity in the sensor.
Yeah, actually, in the TFD sensors, with only one shot, we can get up to five channels, which is what they are using. The point is that here I was only working in the visible wavelength range. These extra two channels we can get are in the infrared part of the spectrum. So that's why I didn't use them. But for sure, it's interesting. And for any application, they can be very useful also.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there other question or comment? Please, Mikael.
It's more maybe like a comment. So obviously the noise, you have a very broad sensors. These sensors are broader than foveon sensors, and foveons are known for the problems, although they were quite clever to address them. So the reason why even in color application, let's say you want to take the RGB image and let's say you want to use your four channels to get a better RGB image then, or XYZ. The reason why broader sensors amplify the noise is the heavy matrixing. You have to, the color correction matrix, you want to go from raw RGBs to XYZs, let's say. If you have broad sensors, the matrix terms in the color correction matrix are much heavier, and that's why you amplify the noise. In your case, this is even worse because the sensors look even broader than foveon. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason. There are some ways, I guess foveon must have found their way, which we don't know. But you could look. There is, this may relate, may help you. There is, Lee and Silverstein paper from a few years back at CIC. Maybe they thought about noise with regard to color correction. And the color correction is obviously what you have to do with when you look at your raw data, it is completely desaturated. Yes, it looks, there's no color there. It looks almost, there's no color. So that's why heavy matrixing will amplify your noise.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. Actually, yeah, it's one of the main problems we are facing with this kind of sensor for the application, because it's so wide that it's sometimes difficult to recover this and to deal with these matrices. Thank you for the comment.
Thank you, and I will close the spectral color science session, and thank you, Miguel, thank you all speakers in this session.